Well, we come to the second in our series of Christian attributes, and we're thinking of hope here this evening. And I want to first of all turn to Romans and chapter 8, and verses 24 and 25. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In the Bible, we have hope mentioned so often, of course, especially in the New Testament. And hope in New Testament terms, in Bible terms, means to anticipate. Hope means to expect. The modern connotation of hope is far from the biblical meaning of the word. Hope is a sure thing. And we read here in Romans 8 and verse 25 that we are saved by hope. We thought we were saved by faith. But hope always engenders hope. It produces hope. And if there's no hope, then there's certainly no faith. So it can be said that we are saved by hope. Unless hope is there, because of faith, well, we can't be saved. We can't have been converted. Faith, we read, is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, well-grounded assurance. Hope is a Christian grace. Hope is a Christian attribute, something we are given by God at conversion. Now, as with last week, I don't expect us to remember everything and all the texts that we turn to tonight and all the texts that we don't turn to. We want to find encouragement in the Word tonight, and especially in this subject of hope. Well, we have faith and hope and love, Christian attributes. We also have courage. We also have loyalty. These are Christian attributes. These are the things that ought to characterise the real believer. Joy, of course, and wisdom. These are all attributes, and we'll be looking at some of these others in the next few weeks. Well, hope is mainly about the future. As you see in Romans 8 and verse 25, we have this: for if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We're waiting for something. It's something in the future. And hope is about things that are going to happen. Even our salvation is future in the main. Although we are saved now, we have salvation now. It will only be realised in the ultimate way in the future. And that's our hope. Well, of course, we shall be saved at the day of judgment. We will be saved throughout the everlasting age. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed, the apostle said. What he meant was that final day when we shall stand before the Saviour and be delivered by his blessed death. And we shall know what it is then to stand vindicated before the Lord and be with him forevermore. In that sense, the future salvation, when we shall be with the Lord forever. Well, hope has an active part. We must exercise our hope. It is very much a matter of faith, and just as we are given faith and then we have to exercise faith through the rest of our lives, as we were thinking last week, so also with hope. We are granted it, and then we have to use it. We have to employ hope in our Christian lives and experience. We're to exercise hope. To hope means we must anticipate our eternal future with joy, with wonder, with gratefulness, especially in our worship, as we, by faith, affirm our belief in all that God has promised us for the future. How do we affirm our faith? Well, as we've just been singing, Lord, thou art mine. We say it. We tell the Lord, we know that we belong to thee. We know that we're trusting in thee by faith alone. And we know that we have sought thee for the forgiveness of our sins. And we believe with all our hearts that thou hast converted our souls and granted us forgiveness, redemption by his blood. Well, when we say all that, when we sing all that, we affirm our faith. And of course, we also affirm our hope that all these things shall come to fruition that God has promised to us. Hope is different from faith. We hope, we expect, we anticipate a bright future, especially to pass safely through the day of judgment and then to enjoy an eternity of bliss in the glory. Now, Paul pictures faith as a shield, the shield of our spiritual armour, and he pictures hope as of salvation as our helmet. Well, faith as a shield is a great protector of the heart, the emotions, the feelings. Faith is the shield that protects our desires. And hope protects the head. It protects the mind. Faith and hope are distinguished, yet they can never exist on their own. Faith engenders, faith produces hope. Faith assures us that we are saved. Hope makes us relish it and desire it and understand what we will be. The Roman shield, well, it may have been dented and pockmarked from many fiery darts that it has quenched. Our faith has made us overcome the world and the devil. Our helmet gleams and shines in the sun, and its blooms are gorgeous in the wind. And our hope is the great flourish of our anticipated victory and all the spoils of a conquering army. We relish these things. Now we have in Hebrews, in chapter 3 and verse 6, this. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. We must hold on to hope. We must hold on to it. We must remain confident and assured that we are in the household of faith, that we are in the family of Christ. We must hold on to our hope and exercise it and rejoice in it. Faith brings us the blessing. Faith is what God gives us at conversion. Indeed, that we might be converted through faith. He saves us by our trust in him and his promise of salvation. And then, when the blessing of salvation, of conversion comes, it brings with it the blessing of assurance that we are of the Son, that we anticipate with joy all that lies in the future. That's hope. That's what hope is. Hope sustains faith. As we expect, as we look forward, as we anticipate all that will be ours, as we contemplate glory and our final salvation, then all that sustains our faith. Hope nourishes our faith. Hope builds faith up. Now, if we have no hope, if hope runs low, if hope is not used and employed by us in worship, in prayer, in expectation, in affirmation, telling the Lord that we know that we are his and we have trusted only in the blood of the Saviour for salvation, and if in affirmation of what we believe God will do for us, if those things run low, then faith will suffer. So many believers have such little faith because they never think of heaven. They never think of Christ defending them on the day of judgment. They never think of the resurrection day. And so their hope runs low, and then their faith runs low. They never anticipate the joys of heaven. They never reflect on the saints' everlasting rest. They never seem to turn to those great hymns that deal with the Christian's death and heaven to come, and the Lord Jesus Christ reigning over them in that everlasting kingdom. Why? So much hope has been lost in the modern churches, where all these grand hymns of affirmation of our faith have been lost. Why? Sometimes we argue over these things about irreverent worship, but this is one of the big reasons why we stick to our old hymns, because they're so rich in hope and affirmation of our faith, and that builds up our faith and it helps us to witness for the Saviour. And we must anticipate that state of sinlessness that we shall enjoy, and the company of the saints to fellowship with. And faith will suffer, faith will run low if we do not have this hope. I personally believe that the churches, the Christian churches that limit themselves to Old Testament worship as far as sung praise is concerned, they miss out so much, especially here. The Christian church should anticipate heaven in its full-blown revelation given in the New Testament. A new song should be in our mouths, which is only limited, or rather hinted at, in the Old Testament Psalms, and which cry out for application and expanding, as of course preachers in those churches do. And it ought to be sung in the sung praise of the church. We must exercise hope especially in our sung praise. We must anticipate when this passing world is done, when a sun, yon radiant sun, then I'll know, I'll fully know what now I anticipate that will be my lot in that everlasting kingdom. We must, amid this stormy world, look to our home above and long to fly on angel's wing to go to him we love. We must long to be forever with the Lord and cry, Amen, so let it be. We must constantly say to ourselves, my rest is in heaven, my rest is not here. Our Christian hope will have us constantly saying and singing, Day spring is at hand, glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. We must have our hope always before us, so as to yearn for all that God has promised us, to be so moved and in faith to anticipate how soon my God, my joy shall rise and run eternal rounds beyond the limits of the skies and all created bounds. Haste, my beloved, and take my soul up to thy blessed abode. Come, for my spirit longs for thee, my Saviour and my God. And through our hope, we will be more patient. Through our hope, we will be more happy and have a stronger faith. What was it that kept the martyrs' faith so strong as they went to the stake? Well, it was their hope. Their hope. Well, they used to say about their last night on earth, well, I'm going to sleep here on earth and I'm going to wake in heaven. And then they'd have a last frugal meal before they were taken to the stake. And they would say, my next meal will be in paradise. I will feast there. Well, the doleful drum taking them to their execution. Well, they would think of that. And then they would think that next I would hear the trumpet of heaven announcing their arrival. Well, hope did all this. Faith was kept so strong, so powerful by hope. Well, of course, Bunyan made Christian's first companion to the celestial city faithful. And then when faithful had done his work in helping Christian, and you know he was martyred, well then, of course, hopeful is brought on to the scene. Hopeful then sustained him and reminded him so often of faithful. Even hopeful, sustaining Christian over the river of death. Well, of course, Bunyan knew all this from his Bible. He knew that hope sustains faith. Hope makes us patient. Hope makes us happy. Hope makes us strong in faith. Well, now I want us to turn to the first letter of Peter and chapter 1. Just read a few verses here. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, our hope must be expressed, and there must be joyful anticipation, not just knowing that a thing will be, but rejoicing over it, being exultant in it. As Christ was resurrected, so will we be. Do we rejoice in that? That is our hope. Faith is conviction. Faith is belief. Faith is being absolutely persuaded. Hope is joyful anticipation. It's what we call a keenness for something to happen that we know is certain. Hope, Christian hope, is even eagerness for those future blessings. Faith believes and hope enjoys. Now forgive me for this illustration, but the baby's on the way. 8 months have gone. Well, faith believes it will be here soon. All is fine, no complications, the mother is healthy. Faith believes and expects the baby. But hope in the Christian sense, enjoys even the expecting. The nursery's decorated, the socks are knitted, the pram is bought, and the arrival cards are designed, and the camera's ready, the grandparents are told all the details, the neighbours think this is the first child ever born into the world, but the expecting is so enjoyed. It's not just knowing, that's faith. But enjoying the thought of it, if you like, that's hope. Faith believes, hope endures. Look here in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So, wherein ye greatly rejoice. What in? In the hope. The hope of these things. The anticipation of this wonderful inheritance that is going to be ours. Rejoicing in the lively hope there of verse 3, that we have this great hope, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We also shall live with him. And so in verses 6 to 8, well, we read verse 6, but then verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, future. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, faith, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hope. You see, there's the difference and what it how it happens. Faith grasps the blessings, and if you like, hope smiles and rejoices. Faith sees the truth. Hope reflects on it and revels in it and searches it all out with wide eyes. We might say faith is for today's blessings, that God will supply all our needs. Hope is for future blessings. Faith gets us into the city of God. Hope looks forward to being in the palace. Well, we might visit a great building like St Paul's Cathedral, and the entrance fee gets us through the turnstile. But we anticipate being at the pinnacle of that great building and surveying down below at the dome and also out onto the vista of London. Well, we anticipate climbing those stairs and knowing what something of what we will see at the top, and as we survey all below, that is glorious and amazing. So you tingle as you climb the stairs, knowing the experience you're going to have as you get to the top of such a wonderful building. Well, faith has found us an entrance into the kingdom of God. And now we are in, we await entrance into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God himself, where we shall see our Saviour face to face. Look here again at Hebrews chapter 6, those verses we read earlier. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, something that's going to happen in the future, the immutability of his counsel, that all that he said never changes, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, God's word and also an oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest. Hope must be laid hold of. We sort of seize it, if you like. We sort of possess it. Hope, in verse 19, is seen as a sure anchor. The Christian has an anchor in heaven. And it's as if this anchor is his hope, and we're pulling ourselves into heaven. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood there, of course. There's no way we can get to heaven ourselves, but there's this sense in which that's where we're going. The Lord has purchased salvation for us and that everlasting life for us. And now in this life, it's as if we're pulling our way into heaven. I was very interested to hear from someone who knew about the sea in one of our more seaside places we lived in concerning this particular anchor that's mentioned here. It's called a club hauling anchor. It would be used in this sort of situation. You might be in the Magellan Straits in those days of those very flimsy sailing ships when people were just about first going around the world, and they'd be in the doldrums. Not literally, because that's in another place, but there'd be no wind. And they knew that if they were there another 2 hours or so, a great storm would come in and they'd more than likely be wrecked. So they had to get through the Straits of Magellan. So what they do? They put a longboat out. And in the longboat would be the club anchor. And they would row for all their lives. And they would row half a mile or so with the cable of that anchor to the ship. And then they'd drop anchor. And then all the hefty men on board would pull the rope. they would pull the ship along, and thus they got half an hour, and then the anchor would be raised and the long boat would be off again, and another half a mile. I don't know if I'm exaggerating the distances here, but and that's what they would do. And they'd drop anchor, and then the men on board would pull for all their life and their work so that they could get through in that described manner. And this is something that we see of here. It's as if hope is that club anchor. Well, it's the thing that gets us into heaven. Well, of course, we know it is the Lord that brings us to glory. The Spirit will take us there. But as far as our ordinary everyday lives, we think to ourselves, how am I going to make this journey into heaven? Well, we have this sure anchor of the soul. It's there, embedded in heaven. And we're drawing on the hope, as it were, as we travel towards that undiscovered country. Oh, friends, this is glorious. We have this hope. We must sort of seize it and pull on it and use it for all it is worth. Hope is this sure anchor. We anticipate heaven, even though we've never been there. We will never get there without this anchor that comes from faith. If we keep in mind our great future, then trials in this life would be so much easier, Paul reckons, not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The more we are hurt, the more we shall lean on the Lord. There is no greater thing that we can anticipate than our eternal blessings. All that God did to bring about our salvation, of course, was miraculous and gracious and wonderful and amazing. Of course it was. This hope influences us. This hope energizes us. This hope gives us courage, knowing what the future truly is. This hope gives us constancy, and it enables us to endure hardship as good soldiers, and we are prepared to make sacrifices. And this is a revealed hope, revealed to us by God, not man. We know, it is true, it is a happy hope. It relieves the troubled spirit. It's a personal hope. Heaven is for us as individuals. Hope puts everything in perspective. As we contemplate what we shall have in the future with our Saviour, nothing else really matters. Oh, we have such trials and difficulties, and some things fill us with grief and sorrow and sadness, of course, and we pray and pray about these things. But the more we hope, the more we have this strong knowing in our hearts that comes by faith of what the Lord has for us in the future, then of course we are not so troubled, and we are those that get things into perspective. Hope sees Satan as a defeated foe. Well, he was defeated somewhat at the cross, and we know that that was his death now. But we know also there's going to come a time when we're in the glory and Satan won't bother us anymore. That roaring lion that seeks to devour us, he will have no way that he can come near us. He will be banished to everlasting perdition. And so hope sees that. And therefore, we're not too troubled about how Satan troubles us now, for we have to do with a defeated foe. Hope promotes our love for God. The more we think about what he has prepared for us, the more we love him, the more we feel with wonder of what he has done for our souls. Hope gives us peace. Of course it does. It gives us peace in all the turmoil of this life, especially when some souls are so sorely persecuted. Or what gives them peace? Well, the future. What's going to happen to them in the future? It gives them peace, even those poor imprisoned souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. They have peace in their heart, even though they're in pain, even though they're in grief, even though they're deprived of their families and perhaps food. Well, they have peace because they know that the future's coming when they shall be with the Lord. Hope gives us patience as well. Similar scenario. Hope overcomes disappointment and loss. We come to many things in life that disappoint us. People disappoint us. Situations disappoint us. We're so disappointed often in the church that we don't see so much, so many souls won for the Lord Jesus Christ. But hope even overcomes that, because we know it's coming to a day when all the glorious church of God shall sing to his praise and to his glory. Hope also is the great uniting gel between Christians. We're all equal. We're all going to receive the same thing. So it humbles us and it brings us all onto the same level. And we love each other because we're going to be in the glory with each other in the future. Our hope of heaven must centre on the now resurrected Lord and Saviour. We shall see him face to face. Well, our salvation is all his handiwork. We must thank him for all that he has done. If Reformed Baptists had only one reason why they sing hymns, it would be this. We need New Testament language to adequately set forth in song our joyful anticipation of future glory. We must express our hope in terms found in the New Testament, where the Christian's hope is revealed in all its glory, in all its clarity. We must affirm our faith and especially our hope in song and in our prayers and in the way that we speak to each other, and largely reflected in the ministry of the word also. We must retain hope, and we must nurture our Christian hope. We were once without hope and without God in the world, but not now. We have this glorious hope, which is as an anchor of the soul that will bring us into heaven. And we are so ready to give a reason of the hope that is in us. What do we anticipate? Let's increase hope, friends. Let's increase our thinking of all these glorious things that God has for us, because that will, it will be the thing that will sustain our faith and trust in the Lord and make us so useful for him here and enjoy that glory that is to come. Christian hope. Amen.